Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Dawn Cherie Wilkerson.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says this: Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He's made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I want to read to you in the Message interpretation, verse 2. It simply says this: Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. And I want to talk to you for the next few moments on this thought: lost letters. Lost letters. Will you bow your heads with me to pray? Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your church. Thank you for community. Lord, that with all of our brokenness, with all of our past, you invite us to be a part of your family. We're so grateful. So Lord, right now, open up our hearts to your word. Speak to us. We're so grateful for your love. We're ready to be changed by the power of your Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We know the Bible, that was so good. Future VU Church leader over there. The Bible is a collection of stories. And as we move into the New Testament, the Bible is actually a collection of letters written by the apostles, the early followers of Jesus. And these apostles wrote letters that here we are today reading them. And these letters in the New Testament are actually called epistles. I don't know if you think that's funny. I think it is. Apostles, epistles, tomato, tomato, epistles, apostles, let's work the whole. It's kind of funny, right? And these apostles wrote the epistles, and here we are reading them today. I wonder if the apostles ever imagined that 2,000 years later, people would be reading the letters that they wrote. And I wonder who will be reading the letter of your life long after you're gone, inspired by the faith and the steadfast love of God that you walked out. You see, the word of God is God's letter to us, but your life is a letter to the world. Your life, just like we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, your life is a letter that the world can read simply by looking at you. And as followers of Jesus, we all have our own individual purpose. We all have our own individual path. We're all walking in the same direction towards eternity with Jesus. But you could go seat by seat. We could go row by row, and there wouldn't be one person's destiny that looks identical to anyone else's throughout all of history. That's how creative and amazing our God is. And yet in each of our unique journeys, we all somehow exemplify and show the characteristics of our God through our faith journey. We serve a creative God, right? It's pretty unbelievable. You can go through all the different professions and education. You get to display and portray the characteristic of God, that where I am today is not where I will be tomorrow. That God gave me a brain that is moldable and can grow and can expand, and my capacity can grow and my capacity can expand. And the best is ahead as I continue to learn and equip myself. You can move into the sports realm. And you can exemplify the characteristics of God, that God is honored in our unity, that we can walk as a team through the wins and the losses. We can show what it means to stick together and to believe for the best. You can move into the legal field. You can move into the medical field. You can work at a coffee shop around the corner. Whatever you do, your life was created to reflect the character of God. God's justice, God's mercy, God's compassion, God's grace, God's responsibility with what he stewards and holds, God's love for the world. Your life was destined to reflect all that he is in the letter of your life. But hear me, we can get really caught up in all the things that we're doing. We can get really proud of what we're doing when really what God is concerned about is the state of our heart. So let me ask you today, what's going on in your heart today? What's written today on the letter of your heart? Because who you are is far more important than what you do. The true creative process is what the Spirit of God is creating in your heart right now. You can look to the left, to the right, at all the newest art that is being formed, but let me tell you, nothing can compare to the creative process that God is creating within your heart, within your soul today. We see these four walls, we see this screen, we heard the music, we're sitting in wooden chairs, but this is the physical realm. This is gonna rot and fade, it's gonna crumble. But we know that there's a spiritual realm that is eternal and that it will last forever. And that is your spirit. That is your heart. And there is a creative process taking place in your heart by the hands of Almighty God right now. And I just want you to take a moment with the creativity that he's placed in your mind today to try to imagine what that looks like. Because I think it's more glorious, more beautiful than we could ever imagine. What does it look like for a heart to go from being dead to being found in life in Christ? What kind of explosions of color? What kind of beauty is imbued? What kind of art that we have never seen or could never imagine? What does it look like when a heart that has been isolated and feels alone suddenly finds a community to be a part of? What kind of beauty is being created within the heart when a heart that is broken into a million pieces, suddenly through the Spirit of Almighty God, is made whole again? It's more than we could ever imagine in our lives. There is a creative process taking place in our hearts through the Spirit of God right here, right now, and it's got to be beyond our wildest dreams. So what is God doing in your heart today? Because 2 Corinthians tells us your life is a letter that the world can read simply by looking at you. And every letter has different parts of it. And the first part of our life letter is the context. Every letter has a context. Context simply means the circumstances that form the setting for an event, statement, or idea, and in terms of which it can be fully understood and assessed. Context is everything, right? Have you ever received a text from someone that they didn't mean to send to you and you have no idea what they're talking about? There's no context, right? A message handed to you on paper saying, "Help me," could be someone whose life is seriously in danger, or it could be someone who's just trying to sneak out of detention. What is the context? Context is everything. And as a follower of Christ, you have to have a revelation inside of your heart that from the moment you surrender your life to Jesus, the context for the letter of your life changes once and for all. The context for the letter of your life is now, once and for all, the same power that conquered the grave lives within me. The same power that conquered the grave lives within you. Come on, do you believe it tonight? It's called the Christ context. And the letter of your life is written within the Christ context. Your letter has begun. You may have been waiting until your five-year plan is through. No, the letter of your life has begun. You are off and running, and the Spirit of God wants to write the letter of your life through his incredible power. But hear me, the Spirit of God will only write upon that which is surrendered. When it comes to humanity, God will not impede. He will wait for us to open up the door of our heart, to invite him in. Yes, he told the mountains where to stand, and he told the ocean where its borders would lie. But when it comes to our heart, the Spirit of God will only ride upon that which is surrendered. Let's look to what the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off these frauds. See how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Busy work, barren pursuits of darkness. You know that darkness is barren. It cannot give birth to light. Only God can give birth to light. And you may look at your past and your brokenness and your shame, and you may say, the context of my life was once a coffin. But when Jesus entered into the equation, everything changed. The context of your life is no longer a coffin. The context of your life is Jesus Christ. The cross, the empty grave, the resurrection, this is the context in which the letter of your life is written. And you see things differently. You see, when I live my life in the context of Christ, all of a sudden, the things that used to make sense in my life, they just really don't make sense anymore. It just doesn't seem to fit. I want to write that I'm defeated and that I'm never going to get over this season. But in the Christ context, I have to know that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. You know, I want to write on the letter of my life like I had so many times before I surrendered my life to Christ that this season is impossible and the mountain that I face, I'll never be able to get over it. But now within the Christ context, I know that there's not one weapon formed against me that can prosper because now my life is lived in the Christ context. It changes everything. I want to write that I don't want to forgive. I want to write that I won't forgive, that I have the right to not forgive. But in the Christ context, I know that Jesus forgave me of everything. He didn't leave anything out. And therefore, he gives me the power to forgive even those who have wounded me the deepest. We are called to live in the Christ context. Come on, is anybody living in the Christ context today? It's real, and it brings power to every part of our life. But hear me, don't step out of context. Now that you are walking in the Christ context, understand who you are walking with, because the Christ context is all about your relationship with Christ. Don't step out of relationship. Don't step out of context. People can look at the Word of God often in a scripture that someone will use, and they say, they use that scripture out of context. May the world never look at your life and see you living your life out of context. That you're saying one thing, but your actions are completely different. It's sending mixed messages to the world. A message that they can't read, a message that they can't understand or decipher. Walk in the context of Christ. And watch as he changes you from the inside out. Because when you walk in the Christ context, just day by day, it's not like this overnight, like everything, every desire is gone. I'm completely. No, it's through relationship. Says you walk with him. Says you surrender parts of your life to him. As you trust him, as you get to know his character begins to change you from the inside out. And all of a sudden you begin to desire things that you never desired before. Like before you were in the Christ context, it was like, I want a good life. You know what I'm talking about? I want to have the right job. I want to have the right salary. I want to have the right house. I want to have the right family. And then I want to just enjoy it for the rest of my life. But in the Christ context, all of a sudden you begin to desire things that you never desired before. Lord, will you make me uncomfortable for your glory? God, will you begin to stretch my faith? Lord, will you begin to teach me how to work within the context of community? God, will you begin to change my desires? Lord, will you teach me how to forgive so that I can forgive those around me? Lord, will you make me humble because this pride thing is not working out? Lord, I want to die to my flesh. I want to die to myself so that you can become greater. And the Christ context brings change to every single part of our life. You're walking in it. And the Christ context is consistent in every season. You may feel like your emotions are up and down. Listen, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's with you. Doesn't matter what you go through, he's with you. As you pastor, you pray with people in the same day who are going through the hardest times and who are going through the greatest times. You can pray with someone in the same day who's going in to surgery for a triple bypass heart surgery. And then I can pray with another couple who just welcomed their healthy new baby into the world. But the context for their life doesn't change. Whether you're on the mountaintop or the valley, Jesus' peace is the same. It really is a sure foundation. His relationship really is enough to sustain you. He really will never leave you, never forsake you. This is the power we have when we walk in the Christ context. The letter of your life was meant to be written within the Christ context. May we never be a lost letter because we never realize the foundation upon which our life was built. The first part of every letter is a context, but the second part of a letter is the content. Every letter has content. What's the definition of content? It's the things that are held or included in something. So, what's the content of your life? Not what will the content be in 3 years. Not what will the content be when you pull everything together. What's the content of your life today? Like, what's the state of your heart today? Your emotions today. Your trust factor in God today. Your surrender to his will today. What is the content of your life today? Because the content we consume will become the content that we create. The content that you consume will become the content you create. The Word of God teaches us this. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That the eyes are the gateway to the soul. I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What is the word saying? That I will consume your word so that I will be able to walk out your word. What you consume is what you create. Bad company, consume a lot of that, it corrupts even good character. Not just so-so character, bad company corrupts good character. What you consume is what you will create. And our world is more inundated with content than any other generation in history, right? I mean, we wake up in the mornings and it's coming at us 100 miles an hour. Our mailbox is already full of emails. The news is already filling our minds with every latest story. We open up social media and there is hundreds, if not thousands of images for you to sit and scroll through over the hours of your boredom as you wait or as you have a pause or as you have a moment. You are consuming content. We're spending money on magazines. We're spending money on every bit of content and we can't be satisfied. We consume, we consume, we consume, and yet we still want more. It is an insatiable desire for content that is empty and worthless. Meanwhile, our Bible sits on the end of our bed. Dusty. If we just take a moment to open it, we could start to have the bread of life. We could start to have the water of life. We could start to be satisfied in every area of our life if we take a moment to silence all the other content. You've got the power of God and the power of your purpose right in front of you. Why don't you start to consume the right content? The truth of the matter is our life is so inundated with so much junk. If we just shut out some of these voices, our life would get simpler pretty quick. It would get a lot clearer, the direction that we needed to head in, if we would just stop looking at what everyone else is doing. The content you consume will be the content you create. The truth of the matter is the ideas you need, the direction you need, it all comes from awe of God. The greatest ideas you'll ever have will come from your awe of who God is, because you can never exhaust that. He's so great, you can't fathom everything that he is and all the power that he holds. Read the Bible a million times over, you'll still find truth and revelation, because the Spirit of God is alive and working and moving within your heart. We've got to take the time to consume the right content. Our life letter depends on it. Because hear me today, the greatest attack on your life, it may not be sickness, and it may not be a broken home. The greatest attack on your life might just be distraction. That you get your eyes off of what God has placed before you, and you get caught up on the left and the right. Let me tell you, God's got the best plan for your life. It's time to look forward. It's time to consume his word. It's time to find yourself in moments of worship. It's time to allow his word and his thoughts to permeate every part of the letter of your life. What are you consuming? And what should the content of our life as Christ followers look like? I think that Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 spells it out pretty clear for us. Asks us a couple questions. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. That's a pretty good word, right? We've got to learn to be content in who Christ has called us to be. Do you want great content? Learn to be content. Because when you learn to be content in Christ, it will produce the greatest content that your life letter could ever hold. But instead, we get caught up in the competition, in the comparison, in the achieving, in the striving. And don't you think for a minute that's for my neighbor, that's for you. Everybody deals with it. We get caught up in measuring ourselves up with everyone else around us. This does not bring the best content out of the letter of our life. We've got to be content in who Christ has called us to be. You know, in the art world, it is understood that the best artists are the most warped artists. That the most brokenhearted people write the best songs. That the most depressed person somehow ends up being the funniest comedian. That people who are the most broken and messed up create the greatest pieces of art. But I just think it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up and to declare to the world, I once was warped. I once was lost. I once was broken. I once was depressed. But the love of Jesus Christ has changed me from the inside out. And there's no greater piece of art than the art of a life that's been redeemed, than the art of a life that has been set free, than the song of lips that know the mercy of Almighty God. Come on, if you love our God tonight, give him a shout of praise. Let's let the Spirit of God write the content of our life. Let's show the world what the beauty of our creative God looks like. The content of your life matters, because we don't create content for content's sake. create content so the world can see Jesus within us? What is the content that your life is creating? What is the story that you want your life to tell? Because many life letters have been lost because they were just a regurgitation of the life to their left or their right. And many life letters have been lost because they didn't understand the context of Christ that was paid for by the blood of Jesus. The life letter that you are walking out today first has a context. Secondly, it has content. But thirdly, the final part of any letter is the credit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says it pretty clearly for us. The Spirit wrote it, not you. So if the Spirit wrote it, who gets the credit? Who gets the credit for your life letter? The definition for credit is to publicly acknowledge someone as a participant in the production of something published or broadcast, to ascribe, to accredit, to assign, to attribute. There's always a signature. And if there's not a signature, then there are initials. And if there aren't initials, then the handwriting can be studied to decipher who the true author is. May the name of Jesus be the name that the world sees when they look at our life letter. May the name of Jesus be the name above every other name within our life letter. Jesus. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. You're my master, my savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim, all kings and kingdoms may all pass away, but there's something about that name. There's something about the name of Jesus. Come on, can you speak his name tonight? There's power in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the name of Jesus. Jesus is why we live. May he get the credit every season, every line. May the name of Jesus mark our lives. May it not just be upon our lips, but may the letter of our lives be imprinted by the glory of God. May it be undeniable when people look at the letter of our life, that Jesus is the reason that we are where we are today, that Jesus is the reason we have the family that we have today, that Jesus is the reason we have the influence that we have today. It's all about Jesus, and it always will be. Jesus. See, I believe that there are people in this room that you are going to invade parts of society that have never been invaded with the light of Jesus Christ. You say, Don, sure, you're just saying that. No, I believe it. Because where the Spirit of God is at work within a heart, there is no limit to what God can do. I believe that there are going to be doors that are opened in your life that only God can open. Platforms built that only God could build. But when he builds it, may you walk through the door and may you stand on the platform knowing it's because of Jesus that I'm here. And he gets all the credit. You know, sometimes we can walk in this room and we can look at the screens and the art and we can look outside in the courtyard and kids and all, this is so great. But hear me, let's not ever get caught up in thinking it's about someone or something. This place is special because of what we're a part of. Because Jesus loves his church and he blesses his church. Listen, we may not be perfect and there may be broken pieces, but that's because we're humans. But God has not given up on his plan that the church is the hope of the world. It's not plan B now. He's not trying to find another way. He loves his church. And that's why this place is special. And that's why this place has something about it. It's because it's his spirit. Because we were born to live in community. And he loves his house. And he gets the credit every single time. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 reminds us that this whole idea of credit goes all the way back to our forefather of faith, Abraham. Listen to what the word says. So how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things, meaning Jesus, the cross and the resurrection? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit, there's that word, for it. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in Scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. See, we haven't started this. It's not your idea and it's not my idea. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And just like Abraham, we have the opportunity to enter into the plan that he has already created. May we never get caught up in this credit junk. Oh, I want credit? Are you kidding me? That's the emptiest pursuit that you could ever run on. Followers of Jesus are not marked by getting the credit. In fact, most of the time, followers of Jesus are marked by our weakness because it's through our weakness that God's power can shine through us. It's not about your name. It's not about the credit. It's about what we are a part of. But the enemy hits up credit every single time. Why? Because it's the reason why he fell. He wanted the credit, so why wouldn't he hit you up? Yeah, you need credit for that. You better get your name. You need credit for that. It's an empty pursuit. Jesus deserves the credit. How many letters become lost because they thought they were writing the narrative? See, the letter of your life, it has a context, has content, it has credit. But the truth of the matter is that we're just a letter. So what does that mean, Don Shree? You keep saying that. Well, we can't reach our full potential alone. We were meant to do life within community. And there's a letter, and then there's a letter. You're like, what do you mean? Well, there's a letter, and then there's like a letter. Consonant. A vowel. All alone. Doesn't do anything but make a sound. A letter on its own is simply a sound, but a letter joined with other letters becomes a message that you can declare. See, a message that you can declare is so much more powerful than just a sound, because you can declare your sound loudly and boldly and with a lot of passion and authority, but at the end of the day, it's just a sound. Or you can actually bring hope by declaring a message, by joining with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you stand together, the world sees you are loved. Despite your mistakes, despite your brokenness, despite your shame, despite your inadequacies, when we stand in unity, Christ's last prayer in the garden is fulfilled. That we would walk in unity so that the world could see his glory. And when we stick together in community, and when we trust Almighty God with our life speaks volumes to the world. Not just a sound, but a message that says you are loved. God adores you. You see my life? You know where I was 10 years ago? You know the things that I've walked through? Do you know my past? Here I am today, whole because of the love of Jesus Christ. And you are loved too, in your brokenness, in your shame. That's what the world reads when we stand together with the letter of our lives. This is the truth of the Church of Jesus Christ. Have you ever been writing a letter before and made a mistake? Have you ever written like a card and you start writing? I did this the other day because I was writing a card, a birthday card actually, to Aaron, who's here tonight. And I was writing a letter and I was writing to him. And I made a massive mistake and there was no covering it up. And I just had to like do the old school X over it because I didn't have a backup plan. I didn't have a second card. And you know, you may be sitting in your seat going, Don Cherie, this letter looks beautiful, but this is not the letter of my life. My letter is full of X's. Mistake after mistake. My life, the letter of my life is full of erase until it hurts, and still there's a mark mistakes. Maybe you're measuring your life up right now and you're just going, I don't fit within that beautiful letter that you just showed me, Don Cherie. It's impossible for me to fit right here. So often we let our mistakes dictate what our letter is. Maybe today you would look at the letter of your life and you'd see laziness. You'd say, Don Cherie, the last few years I've completely wasted. If I'm completely transparent, I mean, I should be in a completely different place. But mistake after mistake and setback after setback, my life is just one piece of trash. You discount your life. Maybe today you look at your family and you go, you know what? I've been a bad parent. I haven't been around. I haven't been engaged. I could have done so much better, but now the season is gone. My opportunity is gone. And all I look at when I look at the letter of my life is that I should have done better. And I should have done more. So my life is nothing but deserves to be in the trash. Maybe today you look at the letter of your life and you see broken relationships. You don't know how you could ever have a healthy relationship because every relationship around you has ended in brokenness. And now you sit yourself in brokenness. You say, Don Cherie, you don't know where I stand. It's not beautiful script. It's just ugly mistake after mistake. How could God ever use my life? It doesn't deserve to be seen by anyone. Maybe today, if you're really honest and transparent, your life has been marked by addiction. And you've gotten season after season believing that you could get out of the addiction and doing well maybe for a couple months or a couple years, and then you always fall back into the same place. You say, Don Cherie, my life is marked by mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. I can't find freedom. And so you discount the letter of your life. How could God ever use that? What glory is there in that? Then I know there are people in this room that your heart is smashed into a million pieces. Not just a few pieces, but a million. A million that could never be repaired, never be put back together. Your heart is in such a painful place that maybe you don't want your life to even go on. And you look at the letter of your life and you have completely written every part of it off because you can't find one moment of satisfaction. You're broken. You say, this is my life. It's nothing but trash. We look at our life and we disqualify ourselves, don't we? We decide that we're the judge. We decide that we're the one who is able to measure our life and the purpose within. But this is the scripture we started with. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Let me read it to you again. Maybe you'll see it differently. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. John says it this way: the Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. See, when we try to measure ourselves up, that's us trying in the flesh to make our life have purpose. But our purpose begins when the Spirit of God enters into the equation. The letter kills. Judgment kills. The flesh kills. But the Spirit gives life. And I can just see our Father God in heaven rush to the broken pieces of our life and say, oh no, I won't waste this one. I won't waste this season of brokenness. I'm gonna use it in the story that I'm telling. Oh, I won't waste this part of your life, this part that you thought was trash. I won't waste this part. I'll give you beauty for your ashes. I'll give you an oil of joy for your mourning. I can take every part of your life and weave it into the great masterpiece that I am telling. This is the God that we serve. Come on, can you give him a shout of praise in this house? He's working. He's moving. He's doing things you can't see. And let me just clue you in on the truth. This beautiful letter, this is 100% recycled. This is made out of the trash. And may it remind you that God uses everything to his glory. God will not waste one X on the letter of your life. God will not waste one mistake of your journey. God will not waste the shame. God will not waste the pain. God will not waste your tears. He looks at you today and he says, you are loved. In fact, you're not a lost letter. You're a love letter. You're a love letter straight from heaven. So all over this house, let's lift our hands and let's lift our voices. Let's sing it out today. Come on, guys.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.